Hi everyone, welcome to another exciting session of Lambda Test Experience Series. Through XP Series, we dive into a world of insights and innovation, featuring renowned industry experts and business leaders in the testing and QA ecosystem. I'm your host, Kavya, Director of Product Marketing at Lambda Test, and it's a pleasure to have you all with us today. Get ready to unlock your potential as a tester by mastering the user-centric mindset. Before we start today's show, let me introduce you to our guest speaker, Nitin. Nitin is the founder of Synapse QA, a vibrant community for testers and software quality advocates. With nearly a decade of experience in the IT field, Nitin brings a wealth of expertise to the table. Currently serving as the head of QA at Logify, Nitin actively mentors budding testers and shares his knowledge through workshops and engagements. And in today's webinar, he'll delve deep into the world of user-centric testing and explore how testers can play a pivotal role in prioritizing user needs and delivering sustainable products. Nitin will also shed light on usability heuristics and their value in testing, share insights on intersection of automatability, and discuss strategies to build a robust automation infrastructure that focuses on user-critical flows. Before we jump onto the session in itself, let's jump straight into the heart of today's show. Nitin, why don't you tell us a bit more about yourself and your journey, and then share your insights on today's discussion.
Thank you so much, Kavya. Thanks for the wonderful introduction. And I'm really excited to be here. And it gives me immense pleasure knowing that you are also Malayali from Kerala. And we share the same roots. So basically, I come from the God's own country of India, Kerala. We call it God's own country, but it's not a country. It's a state in India. And I'm currently based on Barcelona and working as head of QA with Logify. So it's been like 10 years nearly in testing industry. Started as a QA straight away after my graduation and ended up in QA accidentally, basically. And from there, it was a wonderful journey where I found my passion in testing and also continued into leadership. So yeah, I feel glad to be here.
Thank you so much, Nitin. I would definitely want to know more about how you accidentally became a QA before we jump onto the questions.
Sure thing. So after my graduation, my plan was to do civil service. So I was preparing for 1 year and I could clear up to mains. I could clear up to the prelims, but mains didn't turn out well. And then during that time, I badly needed a job. So I was more into teaching. So teaching was my side hustle. And then when I started exploring for job opportunities, what I figured out was like what worked out for me was testing, basically. So I had some development opportunities. It didn't turn out after like a couple of interviews, but testing, I got my first offer in testing. So yeah, that's how it became testing, because nowhere during the graduation, testing was never taught. Testing was not a course. Testing was not something like a chapter I could explore, and I was not aware of anything, right? When I went to the interview, there were many people who know more about testing compared to me. But yeah, somehow I managed to get the job. So that was how it accidentally ended up.
No, that's a great story. Thank you so much for sharing that. I asked that question because a lot of, budding folks who are looking to build a career in QA and testing definitely have these questions in mind. So yeah, thanks for sharing, that personal snippet from your life. Now, jumping straight into the conversation, right? What underrated user-centric concepts should testers focus on, and how do they improve testing?
Okay, so mostly it's a common trap, right? We all have in our mindset that we believe user experience and user interface are similar terms. And we accidentally mess up with the basic understanding. But those are two different concepts overall. So user experience is basically how the users feel when they interact with the product. And user interface is basically the layout and structure of the application itself, right? So both has different aspects. And when it comes to user experience, I would say the most underrated one is the simplicity. And testers tend to put more effort to ensure the functionality, and they kind of like ignore the fact that how simple is it to use a certain feature or a functionality, right? So mostly underrated one is simplicity, and that is where we need to put more focus on how easy is the feature to be used by an user, and how much intuitive it is for the user or a customer, right? And how they find it, is it mostly understandable for them? Are we giving enough feedback back to them so they know what is happening with the system? So those kind of things. So they need to focus more on ensuring functionality that works simpler and delivers the right thing for the user.
Interesting. I mean, so at the end of the day, what we have to focus on, how foundational concepts can basically have a huge impact on effectiveness of testing, right? I mean, understanding
exactly
perspective. Yeah,
exactly. Understanding the basics, yeah, serves the best.
Great. I mean, is there, again, just to, dig deeper into this question itself, from your personal experience over the last 10 years or so, are there any examples that you might want to share with our audience today that, any instances when you sort of found that a simple concept could probably improve the testing when you were working on a project or something on those lines?
Yeah, so... Okay, let me tell you one other example first, and then I will jump on the personal experience, right? Mm-hmm. So say I had a personal experience when I was trying to make a travel reservation. So I was booking a flight ticket, and when I was going through the payment, actually the payment was taking a longer period of time, and I was not getting a user feedback, right? So in the end, what happened was my card was charged, the payment went through, but I didn't get a proper feedback that the transaction is completed. Okay, so that happened with one of the airline website, which has a lot of offers going on and coupons. And there is on the other side, there is a fintech platform, which is kind of like a wallet where you make a transaction, you send your money. So after your money is deducted, you get a feedback that your transaction is being progressed or in process, right? So it is actually they are taking care of things in the back end, but you are getting a feedback that you need to wait for a few minutes until you get a successful transaction status over there. So these two instances, if you compare on the first one, my transaction went through, but I didn't get a proper feedback. In that case, as an user or a customer, I would drop off. I never will go again for that platform because my first experience was bad and I didn't get a proper status, right? On the second side, the platform actually gave me a status because, again, it's a similar instance because both are payment management. And the second one actually gave me a feedback that I need to wait. So I know that I have to wait to get the right status, right? So that really makes a difference when it comes to user experience, when we are building quality, like when we are ensuring quality and building products that gives a better user experience. This really makes a difference. And from my personal experience, one of my previous projects, what we had was one instance where we get like more complaints when we had a form. So we had a form where you have to fill in details, first your personal details, and then you have a billing information, which actually is a replica of the similar information you filled at first. So you have two instances where you have to repeatedly fill the information. So from the users, we started to get feedback that you are pushing me to fill the same amount of information two times. So then we had to make a small suggestion that you enable a checkbox. You have a checkbox where you can actually copy paste the entire thing. So you click on it, you use the same information, right? So that was one option based on the user feedback. We provided as a value from our quality perspective that this feature could help our users to reuse the same data. And after having that, yes, we got like good feedback from the users, right? And similar thing we had with the checkout. So our checkout process was taking a longer period of time. And there are concepts in Amazon called faster checkout. You have one time detail entered and saved in your profile, so you can reuse it anytime. So these kind of smaller things actually made a real difference in the last project which I worked on. And we got to get like more good feedback from the users because it was a problem they wanted to solve, and we actually jumped on top of it and we solved it.
No, very interesting. So at the end of the day, testers have to notice how real users are interacting, you know, with the platform, with the software, with an app, for instance, that leads
exactly.
to, you know, effective testing. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
Great. So moving on to the next question, you know, how can testers integrate usability heuristics into their testing approach when it comes to, you know, for better user centricity?
Cool. That's a great one because, you know, testers has a lot of job, right? They need to ensure that everything is functionally working perfect. They want to make sure everything is testable in terms of testability aspect, and they also want to make sure that everything can be automated, right, in the end to bring up more efficiency. So they have a lot of things to do, and user-centric approaches or usability or user experience testing shouldn't be treated as a separate concept. So it has to be embedded as when they do the functionality test, there has to be certain elements of user-centric approaches embedded into that. And it can only be happening when they consider the testing approaches in a way that they are more empathetic towards users. So when they define the scenarios to test, they should actually think themselves as a user and what is the problem our user will be having if something is working in this way, right? So they have to design the scenarios based on that. And in order to do that, it should always be backed up with data. So they should understand who the users are, what are their personas. So what I advise my team to do is to understand more of our patterns, users' patterns and user personas, to have a persona list created, right? So this user will always use this functionality in this way. So they have a list of personas that can be reused across multiple features. And then they know the behavioral patterns based on like the tools we have, right? So we have real user monitoring, those kind of concepts, which gives you the real interactions, how a user interacts with your product, and you know the heat map of the functionalities the users use. So from that data, you could define better scenarios when it comes to user experience. And it's not an added effort because you are having data from different data sources. You are just embedding them, or you are just enabling it to provide you more data to enhance your testing approaches, basically. So need to collaborate a lot with different stakeholders, with infra team to get the metrics, and also need to have a conversation with the data team to collect the behavioral patterns and understand which functionality and what all are the basic trends, and create a set of personas out of that data and reuse the data whenever the functionality like or new features are built. So it won't be a repeated effort. It's a one-time investment, and they can reuse those approach.
Very interesting that you share this, because I definitely want to understand more about, you know, if say for instance a team that hasn't done usability heuristics in the past, mm-hmm. right? If they were to get started with this method, you know, how do you think they should go about it? Because of course, like myself, for instance, I work in marketing, right? User persona, behavioral pattern are very key for us. Even the fact that yeah. you mentioned about empathy, like testers should have empathy. And that is the same concept which is related for marketing folks.
Mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that said, you know, great to see that, you know, across all the different teams within an organization, all of them have common values or common data points that we are seeking at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But that's it. How should you know? Let me reiterate my question again. How should a team that hasn't done usability heuristics in the past, you know, how should they go about it?
So the first thing to do, like these all concepts in my past organization, when we did the experiment of onboarding our team to do this kind of initiative, it was totally new, right? So what we did was basically to have, because we cannot go out and ask for customer interviews when the team is new. So we have to train our team with the comfortable zone, right? So your comfortable zone is within the organization. So we can create a group a working group with a set of different stakeholders and conduct a session similar to Bug Bash and all. During that session, we can ask them how they interact with our product, right? So keep record of that session, and we know that different stakeholders will be having different use cases and they will be following different user paths and all. Record those instances, and that is the first data set for us to understand how different users will be using our product. So as testers, we get a lot of insight by doing that first step. And after that, it is about talking to different stakeholders, I would say. So we have a mindset that it's a collaborative team effort, and user experience is not only owned by testers, right? It is always a whole team approach bringing into that. So testers can initiate the conversation, and then they have to interact or be a glue or a bridge between multiple stakeholders to get more details. So what we did last time was basically to have, like, from these sessions, we collect a set of user journeys, and we started to have these conversations with multiple departments. So are you getting these kind of scenarios monitored in your infra side? Are you getting these kind of transactions captured in your data sets with data team, right? And also with the customer facing teams, we started to share this scenario. So is this the specific scenario you are getting from the user reported, like, okay, I'm facing an issue for this scenario, right? From customer facing teams, we actually get more user feelings, whether they are having pleasure using something or whether they are having frustrations by using our feature. So with those kind of insight internally, it makes the team more feel confident and empowered with that data. So they will be more comfortable to go outside. So the next step, what we did was we started to go outside, because the platform we were having was, it's an application which was a fintech application widely used in Southeast Asia. So we know, and we use it quite often when we are in Southeast Asia. So we know how the transaction works, the merchants who use the product and everything. So we started, when we go for lunch, we use the platform. So when we use the platform, we actually started to have conversation with the merchants. So how you find using, like, how are you find, like, is your customers having, like, okay, or are they feeling, are they having any issues, those kind of things. So they started to share their genuine feedback with us, because they know we represent the company as well, but it is kind of like an impromptu conversation. So once we have a set of inputs from them, we actually collected that and presented it to the product team. So with that, we had kind of like a better, I would say, market research analysis, if you call it that way. So we know what all are the pain points, and also we know from the internal customers, and we also know set of feedback from the external customers. So that was the starting point. And for any teams, start from the internal comfort zone of yours, and you then broaden your reach outside. And once you are stable, what you can do as a next step is basically the design teams and product teams, they do customer interviews. Mm-hmm. So as testers, instead of ignoring those kind of sessions, maybe once in a while, you can join that session. You get to know how your real user uses the product. And when you have, like, beta testing similar programs, you can be part of it. You know what are the real feedback coming out of the customers, and you make use of that. And then you will be feeling like, so these are all smaller steps. And in the end, it will automatically come to you. You don't need to do something especially to do ensure that user experience is perfect. It will automatically come. Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much, Nitin. Thanks. I mean, great insights for sure. And what I was trying to understand is how important, detecting, usability issues from the from different stakeholders, from the customers at the end of the day, right, can save a lot of time and effort down the road. So yeah, thank you so much. That was very insightful. Moving on to the next question, right? How can testers effectively assess and communicate UX issues in early development stages? I understand you must have already covered some bits of it. I'd like to hear more.
Yeah, sure thing. So what we can do is we have the usability heuristics created already, right? So we can refer to those, and with all the data points you covered internally based on the product specifications, you can create a checklist all the time. So this checklist can be reused and used across the product. And this checklist can also be added as one of the acceptance criteria, right? So this actually led the team to think from a user point of view during the inception stage as well. So when they are refining something, they know that these are the checklists which we need to tick off when it comes to user experience. So having something readily available actually empowers the team to focus more on user experience. And they will consider that, okay, we need to optimize this now instead of optimizing it later. And they see the real value out of it. So create a checklist based on the usability heuristics, which is readily available, and reuse it. And advocate more about usability and user experience, right? When you test the functionality, if you ignore these elements, then others will also be ignoring that. So you need to start advocating more. And initially, when the team is in early stages, you need to over-communicate a bit. Because you need to, when you over-communicate and when they hear the common phrase all the time, it becomes a familiar term for them. So I want better user experience. I want better experience. It will be annoying at first, I know, but you have to keep on iterating at the same time. So it get embedded in everyone's mind and they automatically consider that when it comes to building those features in the early stages rather than waiting until the last moment, right? So over communicate and also make sure that you have a reusable template added into your acceptance criteria when it comes to user experience and usability. So everyone ensures that it is met when it is available for testing or when you are about to automate. You ensure that these are matched.
Great. I mean, as you were, speaking about it, I was also, in my mind, I was also making a note of all the different pointers that you mentioned. So one is, of course, creating more structure. Testers, at the end of the day, have to create more structure through templates that you suggested. Advocating user experience, effective communication. In fact, over-communication, right? And then bridging the gap between different stakeholders so that you're able to create a smoother cycle, I suppose.
Exactly.
And, that is what you had to share about for early development stages. But for organizations that are at, enterprise level, teams that are, more global at scale, what do you have any feedback or like any tips for them as well?
For them, I would say on an advanced level, what we could do is to create an experience strategy. So experience strategy is something really specific to product, but we can actually leverage the potentiality of an experience strategy to know that, okay, what are the end goals of our users, right? And what they try to achieve with a specific feature. So when it comes to enterprise level, they have a large user base and they have a wider spectrum of use cases, right? So you create an experience strategy based on those kind of portfolio. And with that end goal in mind, when you have a feature development, you can actually advocate for better practices that is common for the wider segment, not only for a limited segment. You focus on a wider segment. So having an experience strategy would be the ideal option for the enterprise level or a high, big, huge MNC sort of companies, because you know your wider audience and you create something for them with the end goal in mind, not like the beginning stages. You have the end goal of your customer and you focus on that.
Great. Thank you so much for those insights. Moving on to the next question today, can you discuss the impact of user-centric testing on overall product quality and customer satisfaction and share any success stories that you might have seen?
Yeah, sure thing. So basically, I would like to mention that most of the time we feel like actual behavior is same as perceived behavior, right? And it's a common trap. So when we are interacting with a feature or a product, we feel like the user will also be interacting in the same way. And it's not the case. And one of the example I used to mention in my talks was basically, say, we as a user is booking a cab in Uber, right? When we are about to go somewhere. But when it comes to testing the functionality, your functionality is booking a cab in Uber. You just make sure that you are able to book the cab. That's the functionality. But when it comes to a real user scenario, what happens is, me, if I'm booking the cab, I will check in Uber. I open the app, I check in Uber. And if it's showing crazy amount, I will go for another platform. I check on the other platform. And that also, if it is giving me a higher option, I will take the best. I won't go with Uber.
Right.
So there is multiple scenarios happening in the real life use case of a user, but we don't cover that. So if you are considering the real scenario happened with the user, you know, there is a context that the user opens Uber app, trying to make a search, and then he is switching the context from your app view, and he is opening another app on top of your app. So there is like a switch of context of different application, and your app is running in the background. So how the functionality behaves during that point of time, it is not included in the functionality, but it has to be a user experience kind of aspect that you need to take into consideration. So having these kind of like situations, making sure that the actual scenario and the perceived one becomes more aligned, really brings up more value. So you need to know how your user really interacts with the application and what could be the potential interruptions that could happen when they are making a specific transaction, right? From our side, actually, set of like customer interviews really helped us to understand these kind of patterns. So for me also, initially, when it comes to functionality, it was purely functionality. But what my user expect, I started to get that insight from attending customer interviews, because I started to see how they interact and what they expect out of certain things. So we had a filter. So when we test the functionality, we focus only on filter functionality. Is it filterable, right? So are you getting right filter output? But as a user, I am expecting, based on my filter criteria, am I getting narrow down result based on what I am expecting? So that is user experience. So it's a different layer compared to functionality. And based on the experience I had from customer interviews, actually, we were able to advocate more on these kind of approaches, like the same one I mentioned to you earlier, having a checkbox to reuse the content, having a fast pay type of item that ensures that the user is more able to make a transaction faster. And during COVID time, we had a situation where completely it was shut down, and ours was a fintech application that you need to go to a physical store to make a transaction. But during COVID time, no one was going out and it was able to make a transaction physically. So we had to think of different approaches to make the product sustainable, right? And we really had an option that we could start delivering things to their people's home using our platform itself. But we only came to know that after listening to our customers' pain point, because they were wondering, what could be the next feature I could have? Because I still need to use the platform, but I don't have a feature, right? So when we started to collect those kind of details, we saw the potentiality to implement a feature that, okay, it could be even a simple Google form, because we created a Google form they could fill up, but we bring you the thing which you online or like which you order online. So that was a small feature which we did based on the customer feedback and also customer interviews which we did. And it actually bring a lot of revenue and options during the COVID time when every business was shutting down. So it could be smaller changes and optimization. Even a smaller checkbox can make a huge difference when it comes to making pleasure in your users.
Great. I mean, those are some very interesting stories to hear. Nitin, thank you so much for sharing that. What it makes me understand is that, you know, the tangible impact that user-centric testing is bringing to both product quality and also to help increase the customer satisfaction, especially when you're directly getting those inputs from the customers and the users, right? That must be super valuable at the end of the day. And yeah, incorporating user feedback truly seems to be like a game changer method when it comes to that.
Yeah. And I guess we share a lot of commonalities when it comes to like marketing and testing. We share a lot of commonalities, but if we consider the user point of view and empathy, like you said earlier, but it is not thought when it comes to only functionality. People see testing is more towards only functionality, but it's not.
No, interesting to hear that as well. I mean, when you mentioned about potential, looking at even potential interruptions during a transaction, right? So tester has to be fully aware of different scenarios, not just about the, as you said, functionality of it, but looking at what are the obstacles, what are the interruptions that sort of come in when, you know, a transaction is happening for that matter. Yeah, very interesting. Again, it's been a learning so far. Moving on to the next question, how can testers integrate user feedback into testing processes for iterative improvement?
What I would say is more like collaborate more with all the stakeholders, and testers lead the conversation, right? So they can lead the conversation because they act as a glue between stakeholders and also customers. Because they are the ones who are ensuring the product is built with the right amount of empathy, and we are building the right things and building the things that brings value to the people. And when it comes to quality also, I would like to define quality as something that we are ensuring that we are solving the right problems to the customers or the users, right? So that is how quality has to be defined. It is not the number of bugs or zero bug backlog, those kind of thing. It has to be a valuable thing that we deliver to the users. So what I would recommend is to collaborate more with stakeholders and be an advocate who actively ensures that all these aspects of functionality or all these aspects are considered when they are considering to build something or create something, right? And also, because many of the organizations, these kind of concepts are pretty new, and it is always as a topic considered by product teams most of the times. So you have to introduce this concept with a value-driven factor, right? So when you have a smaller module to be tested, I would say incorporate these smaller changes in that feature development stage. And with that smaller iteration, you share the updates. Okay, if we did only functional testing, this could have been the outcome. Since I incorporated these user-centric approaches, now we get more insight from a user point of view. So they need to see what outcome it brings, right? So start with a smaller feature, share the comparison in ways of like if you do functionality only, if you consider user-centric with functionality, what value it brings. So these kind of differentiators actually helps the testers or QAs to advocate more about these practices more. And what started from a smaller feature can be broadened into a bigger feature later. So start small, collaborate with stakeholders, communicate, and also make sure that you are open to receive feedback. And also you are open to receive data from different stakeholders, because initially when you start something like this, you will be like bombarded with a lot of information. So you have to better streamline your knowledge sources and to pick the right ones, which is really relevant for you, right? You like if you ask data team to give you a set of data, they will give you a tons of data. But you should be aware to pick the right ones that you really need, right? So just not straight away go into something like I need to implement user-centric approach. It doesn't work like that. You need to have like a proper plan on what all are the steps you should be taking, and really start small by maybe a smaller step with small feature, and then let the team know about the value and iterate from there. Same like you create an MVP and then you iterate to make it perfect.
Right. No, great. Thanks for adding marketing references to it. But yes, I mean, thank you so much, Nitin. Incorporating user feedback as well as aligning with various teams, especially when it comes to product, for instance, what I feel is that, user centricity seems to also closely to implement that within your organization or within your team, testers have to also closely work with the product team, for instance, in order to align their needs, expectations, and so on. Very interesting. And what also seems interesting for me is the value-driven factor that you've sort of mentioned a couple of times. How exactly, again, would it, can it be sort of implemented for teams that haven't done user centricity testing in the past? You know, because where should they again start from in order to cultivate this? Because it seems like a team cultural factor as well. Yeah.
I would say one example I could point out is basically in our current organization. So we have scenarios defined that has to be automated, right? So when we automate, it was initially fully focused on functionality aspect, but we were not covering certain use cases that our users mainly follows. Mm-hmm. So we had like a lot of customer reported bugs. So what we did as a different iteration was we have a real user monitoring system. And from there, we know that what all are the common use cases the user follows. And we started to compare those scenarios with the ones we defined for automation. So when we started to compare, a set of steps that we defined that has to be validated is different when the user really interacts. Mm-hmm. And where we put more effort was to automate the scenarios in the way that user actually performs the transaction. So we automated those kind of things, and we started to see a drastic amount of drop in the bugs reported. So that is the value, right? So you focus on something that is really coming from the user point of view because you observe the patterns and you fix something. And you know that the bugs count really drastically drop. And that is the outcome and value you can bring to your team. Okay, because of this, because I push my testing into a way that I'm capturing data from the user, our bug count actually reduced. So the team know that, okay, if we focus on this, our bugs will be reducing more and we will be getting more benefit by incorporating these kind of factors. So it's just like a small shift in the mindset, but you have to initiate that shift. No one else will do that. So I would advise like all the testers, they should initiate that spark and they should capture the real value by making a small change. And then that small change should be a beginning for more changes.
Yeah, very interesting. Because, you know, that's exactly the kind of, mind shift change is exactly what I was thinking about. Because you have to truly become a champion to cultivate a culture of quality. And I think begins within the team before you sort of scale it outward, I suppose. Thank you so much. I mean, again, really interesting points. Moving on to the next bit, how do you balance the need for comprehensive test coverage with the focus on user critical flows?
Going back to the previous response I mentioned, don't consider functionality and user experience as two different items or two different components. Both are same. So if you are testing a functionality, you should be making sure that it has a better UX and also it is more easy to use, it is compatible, and it is also simple and intuitive for the users, and it gives the right amount of feedback back to the users when they are performing something, right? So those are not two different, like making your mind in a way prepared in a way that considering functionality and user experience as two different elements, that itself will make a huge change. And defining all those functional scenarios with this concept in mind will give a comprehensive test coverage. And you don't need to like the similar situation like I mentioned, because we were too focused on automating scenarios which was defined by us, not considering what is valuable for the users. And that was why we end up increasing in bugs, right? And then we started to observe the pattern from users. We slowly reduce the amount of bugs we have in the system. So you need to start considering those kind of inputs when you are defining a test coverage or when you are defining your or designing your test in a way that it put more focus on what your user is supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And you add those scenarios. So it has to be maybe like if you have a Say, for example, if you are writing or designing a scenario to test your search feature, you can have two functional scenarios to be tested to ensure that, okay, is it searchable or is it not searchable, or is it giving you right result or not? So that is your functionality. You test the functionality, right? And then think about the next elements. Okay, user experience. You are searching for something, and within this point of time, your user should expect a result from search. And if it is taking longer time, it is a bad user experience, right? And also, when you are searching, are you giving a feedback back to the users? Maybe one loading icon will make a huge difference, because the user know the system is doing something. Yeah. Otherwise, they will be thinking nothing is happening, right? So functional test cases, when you define, you just start thinking in the ways that, okay, what extra items I should add from the heuristics, which is already available with you as a checklist. So you can derive more test scenarios, and then you test for that. That brings you a comprehensive test coverage.
Got it. And of course, I think testers must also identify, you know, which user flows to, for instance, prioritize while yes. they are maintaining the test coverage.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, what stands out for me is finding that balance, right? Equilibrium when it comes to both test coverage as well as flows. It's a very strategic approach that testers have to sort of initiate.
And like you said, I totally agree. It is more about making that balance, right? You will be having like hundreds of scenarios to be mm-hmm. tested, but and you cannot test 100 scenarios.
Right.
It is more about prioritizing what's the real need is, and also making sure that at least the critical ones are mm-hmm. being tested and ensured that it is perfectly working fine.
Right. No, thank you so much. Really appreciate your insights once again. So we are about to wrap up today's session, and we have one final question to go. Can you please provide insights into how testers can continuously advocate for a user-centric mindset within their organizations?
I would say be the annoying person at first to whom the other people will be thanking you later. Right. So at first, you're going to be annoying for sure. Mm-hmm. So you need to ask as much as questions as possible. And you need to initiate as much as communication as possible. Right. So for that, consider yourself as a kid. What I tell my teams is, you are a kid when it comes to you start to make a smaller change. Right. So you are observing something new, and you need to ask many, many questions, ignoring all your assumptions, and also you need to consider the different mental models that our customers will have when you ask those questions, right? And when you ask more questions, yes, people will find it annoying at first. So be the annoying person for at least for some time, maybe for 1 to 2 months. That is the pattern I saw from my experience. So 1 to 2 months, you're going to be annoying person mm-hmm. on the table, right? And then after that, once they start to see the value, it becomes a normal process. You don't need to say or mention anything about user experience or like a specific case. It is something that is understood, and it is something that has been already taken care of, because it becomes a practice, right? So initially, for the mindset shift, you need to put some effort from your side, and don't get demotivated, because you will be facing a lot of offensive comments and also like pushbacks and everything. Make sure that you get a better buy-in, small iterations, and also make sure that the team understand this is a whole team approach and not only your approach, like not only something you want to change, right? So start collecting more data once you make small iterations, and present those data to the team, to a wider audience, and then they feel more confident in believing in these ideas. And after that, it's more easy to bring those changes moving forward. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Nitin. That really helps. So what I am taking away from it is testers have to sort of keep users at the heart of decision-making process for sure. Also collaborate with stakeholders in the process, they have to be consistent, as you said, persistent and consistent when it comes to showcasing the importance of user feedback, to again create that user-centric culture within the team. Great insights. Thank you so much, Nitin.
Thanks to you, Kavya, for the nice questions.
So as we wrap up today's session, I would like to thank you, Nitin, for sharing valuable insights and expertise on mastering the user-centric mindset in testing. You have literally broken it down in, as easily consumable format as possible. I'm sure our audience has gained a wealth of knowledge today. To our viewers, thank you for joining us in this episode of XP Series. Stay tuned for more enlightening discussions and subscribe to Lambda Test YouTube channel for more XP episodes. Thank you once again for joining us today. Nitin, it has been a pleasure hosting you.
Thank you so much, Kavya, and thanks to the entire team. It has been a pleasure to be here with you, and I really enjoyed the conversation, and thanks again.
Great. This is Kavya signing off. Until next time, happy testing. Have a great day ahead.
Bye-bye.